Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Dude, the opportunity that comes from losing cannot be understated. Like, it really is. It's a painful thing. It's an emotional thing. It hurts. It sucks.
Yeah.
But it is so empowering to lose at something because then you get to figure out, using that lesson, how the fuck to win.
Welcome back to Shit They Don't Tell You. I'm Nikki Limo.
Hello, buddy. It's the Crypto King.
And today I wanted to talk about some things that I'm going through right now. I feel like that has been a lot of the topics that I've been talking about when we're not talking about questions or aliens or things like that. I feel like my general topics that I'm excited to discuss on this podcast have been things that I'm going through right now and like reflecting on, because you know what? It's kind of not the first time that I've gone through them. And it's something that I wish that they would have told me, you know?
That's what I was going to ask.
Maybe some shit that they did not tell me, that which they did not.
I was going to ask, are you just doing like self-therapy and then selling ads to all of us?
A little bit. Buy whatever we tell you to buy. Yeah, also check out our Patreon, patreon.com/Sticky, S-T-I-K-K-I. Why did I forget our own Patreon? We do free roll poker tournaments. Steve talks about crypto once a week
crypto
on a live stream.
Every Tuesday night, corner. 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Let's go.
His crypto heads are up like 90% right now.
90% in 6 months. Let's freaking go.
Let's fucking go. We do also monthly
dollar
live streams,
average.
Which I think the next one's coming up this weekend. So if you are listening and you want to catch the action, come on in. Everything is basically just $5 a month. Like, we just kind of...
Yeah, I mean, look,
you know, if you want to give more, then that's cool.
We appreciate people giving more. We really do.
It really helps the show.
It helps the show 100%. But we're not trying to make you guys climb a wall for us here.
It's just a community that we love.
Yeah.
So... That being said, anyway, I don't know if you guys know this, I haven't vlogged in like over 6 weeks now. I've been meaning to edit a vlog because I wanted to catch everyone up on everything, but things just keep evolving and they keep evolving, and I haven't gone through anything like this since 2013. Like, this is the next iteration of that cycle where I'm feeling all the same feelings, and 2013 was right before I started my vlog channel. It was like...
True.
I was scrambling. I was figuring out what I wanted to do. I was going through a massive transition. And then after the dust kind of settled, I was like, you know what? I want to document this because this is an interesting part of life and I want to see where it goes. We had just started dating. If you go to my vlog channel, youtube.com/Nikki, N-I-K-K-I, there is actually a vlog of me celebrating our 6 month anniversary, but you weren't there. You had given me, I had given you,
yes.
gifts to open. Yeah. And some you sent me hot ass shots. I did, actually.
Hot picks, for real.
And a Colts jersey.
She's wearing a Marvin Harrison Colts jersey. It and you really sent awesome.
Me roses, and I vlogged about it. Yeah. How like that was the point where you kind of feel like shit's getting serious.
Not yet, not for me.
And we had talked about, no, you're the one that said that.
I know.
So anyway.
You're just my fuck around chick.
I'm re-going through like what feels like that same type of transition, that same, all those same feelings, the scariness of the unknown, the like, oh no, like what if things don't work out, but what if they do? Oh my God. Like it's exciting, it's scary, it's new. And it's something that I wish more people embraced because now being on this, I don't know, I've done this cycle, I feel like quite a few times, like answering a call, not knowing what the fuck's gonna happen, still not knowing, but getting excited about the weird journey that it's going on, and always coming out the other side, like kind of feeling like, I'm glad that happened. I'm glad that there were all those surprises and life is more enriched because of it.
So what is making you feel this kind of timid fascination and fear?
So I started a new YouTube channel. Well, it's a podcast, mm-hmm. but it's also a YouTube channel, and it intermixes sketches and things that we used to do on my old channel, on this channel, youtube.com/NikkiLimo. We used to do a lot of sketches and games and all kinds of fun stuff. And then YouTube demonetized my channel. And not just the demonetization aspect, but then
her a weapons manufacturing company.
Even when they remonetized, it stopped sending my videos out to subscribers. And it just like really killed morale to continue pumping as much effort as I was pumping into doing my videos. And I kind of was just due for a change. And although the vlog channel is something I've kept consistent because it's just documenting my life, I really like missed having something to sink my teeth into, to like
daily grind.
Yeah, I get look forward to every day, something that was new, something that was like inspiring me. And poker was kind of filling that void in the middle because
I'd say a little more than kinda.
Yeah, more than kinda. And so I was like, you know, okay, well, I'm very passionate about poker. I have lost a little bit of zest for YouTube, but only because I just haven't been inspired for what to create. I felt like eventually I would end up making some sort of content to do with poker, but I didn't know what. And the day has finally come. Me and another member of the poker community, Caitlin Komeski, who is also a really brilliant comedic actress and comedian, and she's a triple threat. She also sings. She's very talented. We teamed up and we started a podcast in the poker space, but also a YouTube channel to go with it that has sketches and games on it. And I haven't started a new YouTube channel in 15 years. Yeah, I started my YouTube channel in 2007. And so back then it was like really simple. Like you just like literally register. You didn't even have to have a Gmail or anything. You just register your channel name. Like you just put an email in there or whatever.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't even really remember. You had to apply for partnership. Like there were only 100 channels that were monetized because you had to have like reference. I remember applying for partnership and the day I got approved, it was so like celebratory because you had to send in references. I had to email and fill out a form that I had like a bunch of references from other partners that were already partnered with YouTube. Like, you know.
Do you remember too that when they rolled that out?
Yeah.
All the tuber friends that we had who were in the partner program, because we knew like all the big guys and stuff. They were like 100% convinced that they were just going to take it away like in weeks.
Yeah.
Because they couldn't believe how much money they were getting. And they were like, this is a scam. So we just need to like.
But it wasn't even that much money. It was like a couple $100s. Like it wasn't even a ton of money.
Yeah. But they're like, this is a scam. I'm making videos for a living. Like this is a complete scam.
Totally.
So where's the YouTube getting the money? We're probably going to be cleaned out soon.
Yeah.
They really thought that, folks. It's pretty funny. Being on the inside.
And,
really
like when we got invited to a partner meeting and we all got t-shirts that we thought that was the coolest shit ever. Like we got free t-shirts.
Yeah, free YouTube
t-shirts. I still
t-shirts.
Have that YouTube t-shirt.
Yeah, you do. It's beat to shit.
Yeah.
But they did get a quality
super
shirt.
Super soft.
It's alive.
Yeah. It's alive and well and I sleep in it. But I say that to say this, creating a YouTube channel today is much different than creating a YouTube channel in 2007 in a great way, where I feel like a beginner again. I felt like I had to relearn how to launch a YouTube channel, and it felt fun. Like, it felt exciting. It felt like not like, oh, I'm a jaded YouTuber, you know?
Yeah, which is the normal, yeah.
Yeah, like when you've been on the platform for 15 years, you kind of like are like not as excited as new content creators that are like, oh, I can't wait to make content. I remember just even like 2 years ago being like, wow, what will I ever have that much energy again to like be motivated to grind like that? But yeah, I am. And it's been really fun because I have been re-studying, like relearning best practices on YouTube. You know, the algorithm is ever-changing. People bitch about it all the time. It is something you should bitch about because it fucking sucks. You're building a business model over something that like changes all the time and you have absolutely no control over it. It's
no
stupid.
Control.
It's like really stupid.
There's
but
no customer support.
There's zero customer
There's
support.
No help.
But what's exciting, and that's always been exciting about it, the lure to it, is that you can create whatever you want, and eyeballs that may have never seen that before can find it. And it's exciting to be in this new space where there's all these different forms now. There's shorts, there's like different types of like, it's not just, oh, you need long form content or, oh, you need short form content. It's like there's different things you can do on a YouTube channel, and people now know that starting as a niche is better and then building out and like creating content that is in alignment with that niche, like just stuff, basic stuff like that. And I produced a sketch for the first time in 3 years. And the last time we did it was the beginning of 2020. I thought we were really going to make another sketch run, you know, on our Patreon. That was kind of why we started. It was like, okay, we can put out a sketch a month if we, you know, have a Patreon. And then the pandemic happened and couldn't have a camera guy over anymore or anything like that.
It
so kind of
killed
quick. The dream. But I got to do a sketch for this channel, and it was so fun. Like, it was like riding a bike. Like, all the things just came back to me of what to do, like how to get the shots, how to talk to people to get the best angles and like the inserts and like finding the music to go along with it and the sound effects and the editing. And it was, and even doing the thumbnail, I even had fun doing the thumbnail, and I hate doing thumbnails.
I honestly can't believe it. Cause I have a miserable time doing all that
so much. Yeah. I have not put this much time into a YouTube channel in so many years. And I think that's probably a little bit sad because it is what we've been doing for over a decade, but it reinvigorated that zest and that passion, and I'm thankful for that. And
when we do a crypto episode though of Shit They Don't Tell You, and I'm doing thumbnails, I get hype. I get way hype.
It's like there's a massive difference between something. It's like anything, right? You're not going to maintain 100% passion at all times. It's going to go through waves, and you're going to find parts that you like about it and that spark your joy and drive, and then there's parts that are like annoying, like creating a thumbnail, but they're necessary. But
well, no, look, I love doing this show. I don't want to get anything twisted.
Yeah,
but doing a thumbnail about specifically relationships, for example, it is just so annoying.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
How many times can I download a heart picture?
I love our show. I love Shit They Don't Tell You. But yeah, doing the technical aspects of it, SEO and thumbnails and annoying stuff to get eyeballs, like ultimately it doesn't even matter if you have quality content, because if no one sees it, then what does it matter? And I know that, but I don't care. Like, I didn't care enough to care. But with the starting a new channel, it's like everything's exciting about it. Like, seeing how well you can do from starting from scratch. And I realized that it's because of this beginner's mindset thing, that I have always enjoyed learning new things. I don't know if you know that about me. If you watch my vlog channel, you may know that about me. But whether it's, you know, creating, learning how to make candles or learning how to install a chandelier like hardwire electric chandelier, or you know, getting inspired to paint my wall black and what to put, like what kind of decor I want in the house.
Gold, a lot of gold.
I'm a nonstop machine at learning new things, and I've always kind of,
except for installing washer dryers, which you leave to the man.
I would have done that if
which
you.
Which I understand. I really, yeah. I honestly, okay, okay. I respect it.
I'll give you credit. It's fine.
Thank you.
But I've always lamented right that now. Whole like jack of all trades, master of none thing. But it's really because I just enjoy the beginner part of it. I really like not knowing anything because, and this is what I've been reflecting on this past couple of weeks, is why do I enjoy this YouTube channel more than I've enjoyed YouTube in the past decade? Oh yeah, because I'm a beginner again and I get to ask questions. I get the curiosity. It's not, it's no longer I'm the expert, I've done this a million times. It's now like I get to figure out what's working and what's not working, and I actually find joy in the like changing and tinkering and finding new ideas and new things and learning what other channels are doing and what's working in the space. I actually enjoy that part right now because I'm not coming at it from an expert's perspective. And this is actually a thing called in Japanese culture, it's called Shoshin. It refers to having an attitude. I got this from Wikipedia, but I'd heard it before, but I had to relook it up. But Shoshin refers to having an attitude of openness, eagerness, and lack of preconceptions when studying, even at an advanced level, just as a beginner would. The term is especially used in study of Zen Buddhism and Japanese martial arts. So basically, you ask a lot of questions because you maintain that curiosity, like a childlike wonder, and you're not afraid to fail because learning is so fun. Like
it's crucial.
Failing a million times hasn't worn you down yet, because every time you fail, you're like, okay, what did I do wrong that time? Okay, exactly. I'm gonna fix it, and I'm gonna do this next time.
Failure
okay,
is crucial to victory.
Wrong this time? Okay,
you have to lose to win.
Yeah,
you have to.
And I get to do that again in an area that I thought I didn't have space to learn anything new, or I just had stopped learning. Like I stopped wanting to learn, and I stopped learning, and I stopped having this sort of like fun with it because of that, I think. And another part of it is that you're not closed-minded, you see other ways of doing. So they've done studies that the more of an expert you become in a subject, the more closed-minded you get, whether you want to or not.
I see it all the time. I see it all day in crypto
space. It just
space.
Happens. It happens when you are going through college and then you go get your master's degree and they've certified you as an expert. People stop learning.
Exactly.
You got the degree, you got the license. You're an expert for life. You don't have to learn anymore. And
one of the cool things about being a vet, though, is apparently they make you do like a certain thing to keep your license going.
A veterinarian?
Yeah. My sister's a veterinarian.
Yeah, because you just say vet, like it sounds like a veteran.
I'm kind of a vet of talking about this, actually.
Yeah.
So I you know, we use secondhand.
Yeah.
But no, she has to go to like conferences and stuff like that to stay up to date on the new stuff.
Yeah.
So there is some of that out there, but I do agree that most people get their certification and they're like, I am the expert.
No, you do, but you have to do that.
Right.
Right. And there's,
which I respect.
In every field, like whenever they come out with a new technology, you do have to go to a conference and learn the new technology, but you don't necessarily want to. And also they've done study groups where they've found that you're actually, most of the subjects, they, when they're confronted with new ideas, they're just looking for the ones that actually validate their own. So they can be like, see, that's why I do it this way and not that way. They're not actually open to the new ideas. They kind of fight against them and then wait for another piece of information that supports their confirmation bias, basically.
In crypto space, I see nothing but this. It's so infuriating because, like you, I really do genuinely love the space and I'm excited to learn about more projects. Emerging projects, right? Things that are new. And then I see these people out there, and I don't want to like shit on anybody particularly, but this guy named Ben Cowan kind of sucks at crypto, in my opinion.
Whoa, who's that?
He's a big name in the space.
Shade.
All
right.
Big name in the space. I think people like him and all that stuff, and I think it's great. I really do. But he just looks at things just so generically. It's like he did really well on Bitcoin, so everyone should just buy Bitcoin. And then he's like, when he says that like nobody should buy alts, he's looking at like 10 alts and he's like, they haven't moved. And I'm like, dude, I'm up 90% in 6 months. what the hell alts are you looking at? Oh, right, the alts that everyone else is talking about and owns already, and nobody's going to make money off of that shit. No fucking shit, brother.
Yeah.
But, like, that's the kind of thing I see all the time. Like, the people who did really well, like early Ethereum holders, right? Like, those guys did really well off just holding Ethereum. And guess what they tell new people? Just buy and hold Ethereum. They don't think about the new emerging landscape in crypto. They think about either they got airdropped something and maybe they'll check it out,
mm-hmm.
or like, oh, well, you should just buy and hold Ethereum because that's how I made it. And it's like, that's just not, you're not looking at the space anymore. You're looking at yourself.
Yeah. I mean, this is, happens across all industries, I'm pretty sure.
Of course.
Like in poker, even a big debate is between the old school poker players and the new school poker players, because solvers weren't a thing back then. People relied on their instincts in the game and reading people, and it was a much more psychological sport. Well, then solvers came along and became very technical, and now all these math nerds and fucking robots are learning, are downloading a lot of like solved information and operating from that standpoint, and it's called GTO, and a lot of old school poker players are fighting against it, and the ones that are flexible are still winning at the game. The ones who are inflexible aren't, and there's a reason for that. Like Daniel Negreanu is one of the ones that is an old school player that has learned the new school and has been trying to get more old school players to listen, because you don't necessarily have to operate by just this like GTO strategy, but you should learn it so then you can incorporate it into your own strategy and still maintain an edge in the field. And I think that that's so great. I think that that's interesting to see in an industry that I'm new in,
yeah.
Because I, as a beginner to it, I find all of it fun. Like all of it exactly. Is fun. Like every part of the learning process is fun for me. Whereas some of these people have been playing for 20 years and it's not as fun anymore as it is. They just are like, I'm just good at the game. But you can't just stay that. You can't just be good at a game that has never ending complexities.
That's another thing too. It's like, I'm looking at myself and I'm just talking about myself right now. So I'm going, oh, I'm up 90%. This asshole sucks, whatever. But trust me. I don't look at it like that. I look at it like I am just still excited about the space. And I don't just look at something, an entire category of things, and go, nobody should ever buy that because, like, yeah. I think that that's a huge mistake. And like, even me, hyper focused on crypto, I spend all my time on it. I fucking love crypto, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's a kid who probably bought like this new shitcoin called Pepe like 2 weeks ago, who probably did better than me like in the last 5 years, because he put like $20 into it and turned it into $1 million. Now, I am not sitting here saying that like I know it all or whatever,
mm-hmm.
but like there are going to be like just those moments of like somebody coming into a space and like just crushing it. But you can be lucky, which is that, right?
Yeah.
Or you can be measured about what your approach is and how you do it and have a process that will be more likely to be successful than like coming in and getting lucky.
And then still open.
Exactly. And staying open.
Yeah.
And staying excited. And even when I see this stuff, yes, I laugh because some guy turned $26 into $1 million on this new shitcoin that came out like 19 days ago.
Mm-hmm.
I laugh. I don't go, that guy's an idiot. Fuck all those people who got that, like, bitter shit.
Yeah.
I laugh because that's really funny. Guy put, like, a 25 spot in and, like, he's, you know, going to buy a McLaren.
Yeah.
In, like, 19 days.
Yeah.
You have to find that amazing. It's hilarious, but it's also just, you know, it could be a problem with crypto, obviously, right? But it's also just, it's an exciting emerging landscape. I get excited about all the different things that happen. And there's a lot of scams around, of course,
mm-hmm.
but it doesn't mean that it's not fucking fun.
But that's basically what I'm saying, is that for a lot of people, and maybe you've been able to maintain your passion for like, it's going on like 6, 7, 8 years now.
Yeah.
But, you know, for a lot of people, including myself, passion dies off, and it's really easy for me to be passionate about learning poker spots because I'm new. Like yesterday I spent 5 hours studying the heuristics of C-betting on 3-bet pots out of position across different board textures. Yeah, and that's a relatively
I don't even know what the hell you said.
That's a relatively simple kind of
concept. The heuristics.
Yeah, like the generality, like the generally here's what I'm going to default to on this board texture if I'm out of position in a three bet pot on the flop.
What the hell is a board texture?
Exactly.
Exactly.
But that's what I mean, is that like it's easy for me to get excited about that because it's all very new. And I mean,
are you like if I'm on felt, if on it's felt. Green felt?
No, no, the texture is the... It's the texture is the like so if like let's
I like
say
to think that it matters.
I know, right? I'm not going to try to explain it's board okay. texture to you, but
if it's on a wooden table or green felt,
no, it's not the texture of the table.
Two whole different categories.
The
of poker.
Board is the three cards that come out on the flop. Okay?
Okay, okay.
So then, if they're like all different suits, then that's like kind of static. It's a dry. It's not gonna like you would bet a different bet size for that board than you would if it was all. Clubs.
Do you ever account for table wobble?
Absolutely. Yeah, you should always account for table wobble.
People should.
Stupid. But what I'm saying is the experts, like OG, a lot of OGs are like, I don't want to fucking study that. It's annoying.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I've already played this game the way I play it.
I have my way.
And I have my way. And I don't want
to. I love Warren Buffett. I'm a fan of Warren Buffett. I love listening to him talk about this stuff. Mm-hmm. But the way he talks about crypto is that same dismissive attitude of,
yeah,
I have done it this way. I am killing the game in traditional finance.
What incentive do I have to change?
Why the hell would I even check out what's outside the window? Yeah,
exactly.
And I get it.
And so that's how I started to feel about YouTube without realizing it, is that something that I once was so excited and passionate about and couldn't wait to figure out what I could do better, I had that part of me died in 2020.
Yeah.
Like it just died, and I was sad. I had a funeral for it, but I also like got really excited about this new thing. Well, now coming back to it after like having a period of time off and then coming back to it in a world like in this niche of poker, they are relatively new to the content creation aspect of it. And it's exciting. Like I'm kind of picking up their enthusiasm.
Love it.
And it's actually like really exciting to create in a different niche. Like what can I do that I have experience doing, but how can I bring it to this new thing I'm passionate about and kind of merge them together in a way that is constantly inspiring and it makes me excited to learn. And if I could tell people one thing, or even my old self one thing, or just something that it's some shit they didn't tell you, it's that you should always stay in this like beginner's mindset. Stay curious. Stay asking questions. Never become an expert. Like people can call you an expert and you can have a lot of knowledge on a subject, but in your own mind, like stay the beginner.
I try. Look, I am literally the king of crypto. It's stressful. When people are like, that's the king,
that's
oh my
the
God,
king.
He's the king, right?
And they see you a certain way.
And that's stressful.
It's stressful.
But it's like, you know, if you're going to put the crown on your head because everyone else said you should put it on, yeah, you have to, you know, you have to stay excited about what's new and emerging.
Yeah.
And not think you know it all. And also, dude, one of my favorite things about doing Crypto Corner is people bring projects to me all the time. And I always love, my favorite question to ask them is, why do you like it? Right? Because if you know why you like it, what does it matter what I think, other than like, am I supposed to validate why you like it?
Yeah.
Or maybe, you know, maybe you're coming at it completely neutrally and you're like, I want to hear Steve's opinion because I like Steve to have Steve's thoughts on this. And so, but my first question is always, why do you like it? Because I'm interested in knowing like, what was the moment or the spark that like grabbed your enthusiasm?
Yeah.
And made you go, I want to put my money into this one. Like, that's what I get excited about. And that's all I mean by that. I'm like, it's just such a, like I feel like a student just as much as like I'm showing people how crypto works and stuff like that. They're bringing me all kinds of different stuff from different angles that I would never have thought about. And even when I was, you know, really getting into Woo hardcore and stuff, and you know, after Luna died, I remember Corners like really stress testing Woo. They're like, what about this with Woo? How does this work with
That's
high
great.
Functioning trading algorithms, all this stuff? Yeah. And it was great. And I was like, oh, well, I'm so glad you asked that, because here's why, you know, I had that question too. And mm-hmm. this is what my answer to that would be, right? But like, that's what you want, is you want to stay a student. I really, really couldn't agree more with what you have to say.
Yeah. And another part of that is like, I have this idea. Now I'm going to try to debunk it. Like now
exactly.
I'm going to try to poke holes in
it
and try to find all the weak points about it. And then that, when you can't find the weak points, or when you it usually sells you more on it when like you can find a project that has that like you went at it, you attacked it from an opposite point of view and you couldn't find a lot of holes with it. That's when you know like that it's like a solid project. But I'm part of a group called Hand History Lounge. Shout out
Ben Adler.
Yeah. Andrew Nemi, yep. And Benton Blakeman. But it's a poker hand. It's mostly cash games. But it's the same kind of jam where it's like, huh, did I do the right thing in this spot? It's not like validate my move that I made, but like I want to know, generally speaking, if this was the right choice or not.
Yeah.
And I think it's really great to have sounding boards like that to go off on, like-minded people that are a little bit better than you, people that are a little bit on a lower level than you, and you all like talk about it together because all of those perspectives are important.
There's a difference between wanting to be right and wanting to make the right call.
Yeah.
Right? And like you can say something and want to be right. And then you just want validation from everybody saying that you were right about it.
Yeah.
But did you make the right call? Like, to me, it's all about making the right call. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't care that everyone says I'm right as long as the decision is the right decision. So if somebody else is like, it was my idea and they made the right decision, I think you're a smarter person if you go with the right decision.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Like, yeah. Be open to changing your mind.
Exactly.
Like, don't be so locked into...
It's so important to be this way.
I think that's a mistake a lot of people make is this ego part of it where, like, you're tied to your choices or, like, your identity is in your choices somehow. Like, you made this decision and now you're going to be a stupid idiot brain if, like, you were wrong about it. And so you have to just double down on this stupid idiot decision that you made instead of, like, being open to the chance that maybe you were wrong about it. Maybe, like, in the future, you make a better decision.
Exactly.
And I think...
And you will make it a better decision because you're paying attention.
Absolutely. I think that's what really separates people that... can go for a long stretch of time and like and maintain that passion and that zest for life, really.
Yeah, you cannot,
because you could apply this to every aspect of life, not just your career, not just your hobby, not just like this new thing that you're learning, but like every aspect of life, really.
Dude, the opportunity that comes from losing cannot be understated. Like, it really is. It's a painful thing. It's an emotional thing. It hurts. It sucks.
Yeah,
but it is so empowering to lose at something. Mm-hmm. Because then you get to figure out, using that lesson, how the fuck to win.
And it's just like relationships. Like, that's what I'm saying, you can apply this to every aspect in life. People, you know, moan or bemoan like being in a marriage for a long, being in a sexless marriage or whatever, because people stop treating it like the beginner level where they're like, they're excited to date the other person.
Right.
They're excited to hold your hand. They're excited to like
not rip ass around,
have a fun conversation over drinks or go see a show together. Like, they lose that desire to like find, they're like, I already know everything about this person.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's dismissive because it's like, it's the same concept. It's you're being an expert in your relationship. You already know everything there is to know about your husband or your wife. There's nothing to learn about them. There's no questions that you could ask that would pique your interest anymore.
No, my wife just spends time staring at me while I'm cooking in the kitchen and she's like giggling and I'm like, what's so funny? And she's like, you're really cute. I'm like, what the hell are you laughing at over there?
I said, I like your quirks.
Yeah, you like my quirks.
Yeah, because I've never seen Steve focus on anything without using his mouth a lot. Like, even right now.
Yeah.
You're just constantly...
I'm being an active listener.
You constantly... I know. Yeah, when you're focused on something, you're moving your mouth. Actually, I would be more concerned if you weren't moving your mouth now, because I'd be like, he's not focusing on anything.
He's not here. He's not in the room. I know. Yeah.
Anyway, we're going to go on a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk some more about what I think is fucked up about the education system.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm on one today.
Oh my gosh.
You fired me up.
All right.
You did this.
I did it?
I don't know.
Okay.
You made me eggs this morning.
You said you wanted
them. Yeah, I got fired up.
All right, we'll be right back.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today. The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Hey, thanks for listening to our podcast. We just want to take a break to tell you to, like, thanks for listening to our podcast. And if you want to rate it, that would be really awesome for us.
Like, listen, we're on break. We're not talking to you like podcast hosts right now. We're just talking to you like people.
As a friend.
And we just want to say, please rate the show because it helps out huge amounts.
Like, we're not desperate. We're, like, kind of desperate.
We're giving shout outs right now to all the people who are giving it ratings. So huge shout out right now to Brian Jorgensen. That was sick of you, dude. Thank you. God bless. Huge shout out right now to Mark W. in Springfield, Connecticut.
Back to our podcast.
Jenny Blake.
Hey, back to our podcast.
In Tuscany,
and
Florida.
Back to our podcast.
God bless you. Thank you.
Steven.
Thank you for supporting the show.
And we're back. And I left off on a heated note, and I'm sorry about that, but I'm not really sorry because maybe we all deserve to be a little heated at how we have to unfuck everything that we learned growing up. I think, and no, I'm not, you know what? I've learned actually not to start things with I think, because it undermines what you know. And I know that I don't think, I know that we're not using the best learning models anymore in school. Like, I just, the education system as a whole is training people to be miserable. It's training people, it is, because it's training you to that, like, if you learn all this knowledge, you become an expert, then you don't need to learn anymore. And then what? So you study your ass off to get into the best college. Then you get into college and you study your ass off to get to graduate and get a good job. And then you get the good job. And then fucking what? You are just doing that for 50 years. You're just like
brutal,
doing the same thing day in and day out. And there's nowhere else to grow or learn or expand, or maybe you get a pay jump. Maybe like you get a promotion, but your soul stops growing.
But don't you think the passionate people will always find the zest to learn a little bit more than others?
You would, like, think
that extra push, because I do agree, because in every field I've almost ever been in, I always see people around me where I'm like, oh, they don't care as much as I do. That's kind of cool. Because I'm like, oh, maybe I can beat them because of that, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, there's always going to be that where, like,
you
maintain an edge on someone,
yes,
right? And that's great that you know that you're aware of that.
I am.
But I think that the sad part is that there isn't a lot of people who will tell you early in life that the learning is the fun part. The learning is sold to you as this means to get the end, right? And it's like, once you get through this yucky, gross, hard learning stuff, you'll never have to do it again. Like, you'll get your degree and you get to go get the job. And then it's like this, it builds you into this, like, attitude of when you look at education and learning, you're like, yuck, I don't have to do that anymore. Instead of like, the learning is the fun part. The learning is the part.
How would you do it?
So I would, well, one, encourage people to learn of a subject that they're into, right? Not just the subjects that are gonna guarantee a successful career. And I put this quote unquote because nothing is guaranteed.
Yeah.
So, but I think that people have this false antiquated notion that if they study in certain fields, like the medical field or being a lawyer, law or whatever, that they'll get a high paying job and they'll live happily ever after.
Well, versus the people who are getting a poetry major, I would agree.
This isn't a poetry major.
Or what, you know what I'm talking about though, like some kind of arts major.
But that's not true anymore.
How so?
Because people are making a killing in the creative. You know, I just watched a video of a guy interviewing YouTubers about how much they've spent on each video. Like, what's the most you've ever spent on a YouTube video? And the first girl said $10,000. I was like, holy shit. Like she spent $10,000 to throw a concert in her backyard. But almost everybody else said $60,000 to $80,000 was the most they spent. And these are people that are 21, 22, Tana Mojo. Like, these are people that are not, like, they didn't go get a law degree. They didn't get a poetry degree. But they pursued something that they were actually passionate about and they learned as much as they could about it.
Yeah.
And I think that sometimes drilling into people that this specific path of education is the only way is detrimental to the success that they could have found if they had just been encouraged a little bit more to go use that same amount of passion towards learning something that they're actually.
What part of confidence do you think comes from environment and people around you and friendship versus maybe getting that, just to push back on you a little bit.
What do you mean?
Maybe you get that certificate. Maybe you get that degree. Uh-huh. Now you have your confidence.
And by the way, I'm not putting down that.
I know you're not.
Getting that degree or that confidence, especially if it's in a field that you really want to be in.
I know you're not. And I'm just saying, like, maybe some people need that to get their confidence. Because it really is about confidence. Like, we know that. You and I know that very well.
Yeah.
We've seen people who are very confident. And maybe not even that good at something.
Yeah.
But they just keep that fucking confidence, like, like that numbskull, like, drive, and it propels them to an insane future.
There's a subconscious energy that they put out that what how they perceive themselves is often how they're going to get other people to perceive themselves.
And we see that a million
for
times.
For better or for worse. If you look at yourself like a piece of shit and you just think the worst of yourself, for some reason people are going to, like, even if you had made a nice impression, people are just going to have this, like, I can't put my finger on it, but I just don't like being around this person.
Do people who lead with their flaws?
Yeah.
I will never understand it. But like, so for example, you know, there's somebody that I know who, I don't want to be specific because I don't want to make anyone feel bad.
Yeah.
But there's somebody who I know who, like, will lead a conversation with, like, hey, I've never been on a date with a girl. And it's like, don't say that shit, bro. Don't fucking say that shit, dude.
Like, if they're on a date?
No, just like in general. They'll, like, say that like it's their most interesting thing about them. And it's like, don't fucking lead with this, bro.
I used to think that self-deprecating humor was, like, being more relatable or real, and like, I think it's fun to, like, clown on yourself sometimes, for sure, but I think that a lot of when I did too much of it back in the day, I think it really subconsciously hurt my self-esteem and confidence, and subconsciously made me not, like, believe in myself.
Yeah.
I mean, even though I was saying it as jokes and, like, it wasn't real.
Yes.
I think it does affect your psyche.
So that's kind of what I'm saying. We all have things that we don't like about ourselves.
Yeah.
But don't lead with that, right? Like, mm-hmm. Have some kind of, like, pride in yourself, or at least lead with your pride in yourself, and then, like, maybe backfill in the details later. But you don't have to, like, start with, like, your weakest, most fragile points.
Okay, so bringing it back to education, this is a confidence thing?
So yeah, exactly. So people coming in from maybe their most fragile point, and they're working their ass off to get this degree, and they finally get the certificate, maybe that's, like, the flag that they're able to raise up on a flagpole and go, that's where I got my confidence from. And then that's what leads to them, like, taking that confidence out into the world.
That's fine. That's, like, also the concept of, like, sometimes if you're feeling down and you, like, externally have actions that say the opposite, yes. Like you start to smile or you act in a friendly demeanor or you listen to music that's upbeat, it will change the inner, you know, so the external can change the inner and then you actually are like really happy inside because there was an energy shift that took place. And sometimes your inner can change the outer, like maybe your outer world is a dismal looking gloomy ass studio apartment in Van Nuys that shares a wall with the funeral home, but your inner is working hard on, like, you know, being really happy, maintaining this passion and creative drive, and like it changes your outer world to reflect the inspiration that you're feeling inside.
Sure.
You know, so there is that where they could have, maybe they need this external factor to go out into the world and be confident, but I'm more so talking about the sustainability of not getting trapped, of maintaining that passion,
not
getting trapped into this, like, this field of being an expert because I've learned all the knowledge in my field. And then I've seen some of the most miserable people I know who are experts, but they go in day in, day out. They're doing the same thing every day. Yeah. They go to their job and then they come home and it's like mundane, it's monotonous, and so they look for like a almost like a dopamine hit, and the way that it, like, you get it quickest is through like negative, because you can feel that quicker, so like, yeah. You turn on the news and you get angry and it's like you feel something at least, and then you go back to do the whole job again, and like, and then you looking like, you're like, is everyone else as angry as I am? And like, yeah, because there's so much to be angry about. And then you have a confirmation bias about like things to be angry about because you're not really like focused on learning new things or like expanding your knowledge or like being curious about the world. You're looking through a lens of what more is left and like how long do I have to be here anymore and like what's there to look forward to, because like I can't see anything, instead of the lens of like, hey, there's
wonder.
So much more
you
to
lose
look
the wonder.
Yeah, you lose.
How do you unfuck someone like this though?
So I mean, I think you start like a little by little, where like you do something different in your day that like you don't, this is what we used to do in acting class, and this was more about presence, and it's like an exercise in presence, but walking through the neighborhood you walk in all the time or whatever you do on your normal day, maybe it's taking a shower or getting into your car, but instead of like, your mind does this thing where it already labels things. You're already like, that's a tree, that's a car, that's a light post, that's a this, and you don't even look at it. So the exercise was to go through your day and notice things that you pass by every day. Notice 10 new things on that same path that you take every single day. Notice 10 new things that you didn't see before. And so you're actively looking at things like you've never seen them, because you know, now no longer get to go, that's a tree, that sky is blue, like I already know all the things. You're looking at the actual sky and like, well, that's a new cloud. I haven't seen that before. That's I didn't know that tree was a maple tree.
Did you notice the purple trees in our neighborhood, by the way? I didn't until today.
The plum trees?
Are that what they are?
The dark purple?
They're so cool looking.
Yeah.
I didn't know either until today.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
I was walking around.
So things like that can get you started. Meditating. I know it's cliche, but meditating is not like this end all be all of like, now I'm spiritually on a higher plane. It's more so to reset and get the negative, the repetitive thoughts to shut up. So that now you're coming from a neutral place. And when you open your eyes, you can take in the world as a new person instead of, I just got out of bed, got to make the coffee, got to do this. All the things are already there in your head. You already know what to do because you're already late of doing them. It's to just reset that and be like, wow, the sun's like extra shiny today, or the birds are like really saying a number that sounds really pretty.
Well, especially now because it's like the first week of spring, so it's fun to go outside and do all that too.
Yeah, but then like you enjoy every aspect too. Like I also enjoy the fall equinox when all the leaves are changing colors now, and I'm like, oh, we're getting a new season. It's starting to smell like the holidays, you know, that crisp air.
For sure.
You know, and like enjoying, but noticing things like that. I think as you get older, and one of the sadder parts of getting older and the way that you're conditioned in this society, and basically like because of being in survival mode constantly, of like needing to pay the bills and needing to like, you have all these things that you need to get done, or else like, how are you gonna live and survive? So I get it. But if you can just realize that you can pause for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, and none of that is gonna go away. Nothing's gonna be taken away from you. All your bills will still be there when you get back. You're allowed to have 20 minutes of peace where you actually enjoy your surroundings and like enjoy life. And I think that's the beginning of getting to get a life that you enjoy back, that you're satisfied by, that you're not focused on. So what I was saying with the education system and like really how, not even that, but how we're conditioned in society is to like do everything for the end thing. Like, yeah, like for that end thing, and you're not satisfied until you get there. But guess what? You get there and it's fleeting, mm-hmm, because it's like, okay, you married the woman of your dreams and now she fucking sucks because it's 5 years later and you're bored of it.
That happened to me.
Exactly. Well, I'm just saying, maybe look at the freckles in my left eye once in a while. I have a freckle in my left eye.
Nah.
I do.
I like it when you cover it with makeup.
My eye? My eye. I cover my iris in makeup.
Yeah. Yeah, I like it when you do that.
Okay. Great. I'll try it out.
Thank you.
Something new. Yeah, and I think
mindfulness is really good.
A lot of the show is shit that we wish they would have told us, and like recounting failures that we've learned from. But I also think that this is one of the things that I think I approached correctly. Like, I think it's cool to acknowledge that, like, there was a life path that I took a risk of failing with, and I took a risk of like being a fucking fool and being laughed at.
Yeah.
But it was in my gut that was the right way to go, and it was the more inspired way to go. And I pictured my life not going that way if I didn't follow the inspiration and I followed like the secure, because I had a full scholarship. Like, I could have gone to any college in California that I wanted to, and I was letting that go. And that's fucking scary.
This is why your dad drinks.
And like, is everything secure now? No. Like, but I've learned to embrace the process of it, of that. Like,
it's beauty. It's
no
beauty.
Matter what, like, what's the alternative? I'm stuck in a very quote unquote secure place. Where is it secure? Because a lot of people lost their jobs in the pandemic. Yep. What they thought were very secure, but like, it's never promised. Security is never promised. It's this thing that we do biologically, that we've done, that we've evolved with because it used to help us survive, that we need some level of certainty. But it's false now. There isn't certainty. There's no certainty anywhere. And people would rather not believe that and rather believe in like, okay, if I follow this, it's certain because this amount of experts told me so. So, you know, I'd rather have my brain believe that this less optimal place is at least certain and secure when it's not. But like, I'd rather believe that than go after this thing that I desire because everyone's gonna think I'm stupid. Also, I might fail at it. Also, like, I don't know where it's going and it's uncertain. There's no guarantees, but both of them have no guarantees.
Well, yeah, there's also parents too, right? Like,
sure, outside influences, people that you care about.
Probably that more than anything, right? Like, people who are beating you up for even thinking in that direction.
But that's how this all started, and that's why I have a problem not with your parents, but how the way that society is constructed right now.
Yeah.
How the way that your parents from when they were a child till now were conditioned the same exact 100%. Way, and you're just supposed to continue believing that this thing that everyone's miserable about, it works, and it does. Like, it doesn't work for everyone. Maybe there's some few that like are like, this is a great way, but for the most part, it trains you that mistakes are bad, failing is bad, you'll be punished for all of this. So don't take any risks, don't go outside of your comfort zone, don't ever fail. If you fail, you're gonna regret it. There's no way, there's like a hard way to recover.
Like, there's a rigid path that everyone
it's
should
a
follow.
Very rigid path.
Yeah.
Because if you fuck up your GPA in high school, now you can't get into the college that you want, now you can't get the job that you want. It's like this snowball effect, and now you tell yourself like, you're not like, remember when I fucked up so bad that my life could have been so much better? And I don't believe that.
No, me either. And you know, it's funny too, is I remember, yeah, I wasn't the most academic person. I actually remember when I was my most miserable during school, it was when I was doing the best in school.
Yeah.
And I just remember looking around and going, I have no friends. I have all A's. why am I doing this?
Uh-huh.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, I just actually asked myself that. I was like, this is not who I am inside.
Yeah.
And I don't know that I can be both. Like, I don't know that I can, like, be this, like, academic, like, nose in the books guy and also be who I know I am inside of my head.
Yeah.
And I just decided to just try to be who I am. And I'll tell you what, man, the biggest, most underrated thing, maybe, like, to key in on what Nikki's saying here, that nobody really talks about is the way that you are, like, around people can sometimes completely change your life. Like, for example, you know, so me not having the best high school GPA and shit like that, like, coming out of high school, how did I get around and, like, do all this different stuff? It was through building relationships with people. I'm really, really, really good at that. Mm-hmm. Like, really fucking good at it, right?
Yeah.
And being a good friend and building a relationship with people I just met at a party. And, like, it feels like I've known you for 10 years. And like, I'm just good at, like, talking to people and, like, keying in on, I can tell what their interests are pretty quick from talking to them. And then I know how to, like, work on, like, oh, okay, you're interested in this. How can we work, like, how can I work this conversation towards that to make myself more interesting to you? And it's not even strategic. It's just trying to be entertaining to somebody, right? You're just mm-hmm. trying to, like, keep them engaged. And that has benefited me more than anything else.
Yeah.
Like, ever. Like, no academic thing or thing I learned in school helped me more than just, like, my people skills did.
Yeah. Like, I think that, like, in following that and developing
you know,
and being like, hey, I think this is a strength and I have something here.
Yeah.
Because you can't be, like, Wonder Man, like, good at everything. Like, you're like, you,
no one is.
Everyone, like, has, like, their strengths and weaknesses, and strengthening your strengths is, like, almost more important than strengthening your weaknesses
and following your interests.
Yeah.
And, like, making sure that you're keying in on your interests, because, like, you recently said this to me, and it made me think about it for a while. You're like, it's so funny how, like, you know, when you were in high school, you just wanted to do theater stuff and improv stuff, then you get on YouTube and you just wanted to do, you know, like, comedy YouTube stuff. And then they take away your AdSense account. And then you just throw yourself into crypto and all you want to do is crypto stuff. And, like, that is just exactly who the fuck I am, though. It's like, I follow the most interesting thing.
Yeah.
And I go all the way in on it.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I don't know how to be any other way. I'm a very intense person like that. Nobody would ever accuse me of being intense, but I'm very intense like that.
You're intensely focused.
Yes.
Like you don't care that you just aren't, like, I remember for me, it was every time I transition, it's kind of a fucking existential crisis.
Yeah.
Like, I kind of have meltdowns every fucking day about it.
I was more
it.
Devastated that Disney ruined Star Wars. Like, God's honest,
like,
truth.
When here's me going through a transition. Oh my God, is this new thing gonna work? Like, I feel pulled this direction and I'm gonna follow it, but I'm scared as fuck, but I'm having fun, but I'm scared. It's like a roller coaster when you're going up the roller coaster and you're like, I know this thing's gonna be really fucking fun and I know I'm supposed to be here right now and I chose to be here right now, but I'm still scared as fuck about it. You know, because I haven't gotten past the little hump yet. With Steve, this is how Steve goes. Yeah, I'm not doing that anymore. I'm just doing this now. Like, he just doesn't even think about, like, oh, like, am I, like, would I ever go back, or maybe I should go back, or what? He just fucking goes forward in this direction, and I admire that.
Well, thank
because
you.
I Look, think, I'm but not, we both do that.
We do.
Both follow the thing, but I'm
but
a lot
very
more
about it.
Tumultuous.
I'm more matter of fact, but it's not like I don't think about it. Obviously,
yeah.
I do. I have plans for if I ever did. Like,
I have
ideas.
A problem. Like, I get attached to the way something used to feel and trying to hold on to it.
And I always thought it was invisible anyway. I'll never forget going to malls and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And when people were coming up to me and stuff like that, I'll never forget being like, don't get used to this, Steve. Don't get used to this. Like, every encounter I had with anybody, I was like, don't get used to this. Don't get used to this. Don't get used to this. This is not how our life is going to be, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
I just didn't want to make myself a big deal.
Sure.
Right?
I'm not even talking about
that.
No,
I know you're not. But I'm just saying, like, that's kind of how I deal with everything. Because I think I was moved so much as a child. Like, I was moved from Indiana to Virginia, like, very early.
You had
early.
To, like, prep yourself that things aren't stable.
Yeah, you're never gonna last. And, Dad, I love you. You had to do what you had to do. Mom and Dad, they listen to the show. This is not, I'm not kicking you guys. This is just what happened. But, like, it is, you know, that is probably what happens to a kid of like a very young age where you have like best friends and then like you just all of a sudden have to move.
Sure. Most of your coping mechanisms come from childhood. However, you had to cope back then is probably how you cope as an adult now.
100%. And I can recognize it now looking back. It's so easy to see that. Mm-hmm. But I think that I was just never able to think about something that would, it would never last that long, right? Mm-hmm. I'll have it, but it won't last that long. And next place I move to, I will embrace the fuck out of it, right? And I always do that. I am very good at that. I'm very, very, very good at that. I think maybe I need therapy, but probably not.
Everyone needs therapy.
Yeah, I know.
I conversely was a very stayed in one place of my entire childhood. From 0 to 21, I lived in Santa Barbara. We didn't move. Insane. I had the same people, right?
And it's beautiful there.
And yeah, and so for me, I developed this place, this feeling of home, you know, everywhere I go, even like from my first apartment on, like it had to feel like home. I couldn't do the janky, like, you know, piece together furniture, like college looking frat house looking place that has no towels.
What happens when you live in Santa Barbara for 20 years and even their 7-Elevens look incredible.
Yeah, like I just needed that feeling of home. And so I found that in every place that I've gone, but it branches out to other areas in my life where once I find a home, I'm scared of losing it. I'm scared of like moving to a different home because what if I don't like the new home as much as I like this home, right? Even though every time it's gotten better, every house that we've moved to or every place that we've lived has gotten better. And every step that I've taken along my life path has gotten better, but it's still scary doing it, right?
100%.
So the feeling, like for example, with this latest transition or when 2020, when everything got demonetized, is like I stopped posting Tasty Tuesdays. I did Tasty Tuesday for like 6 years.
Yeah.
And even though I was kind of ready to move to a different format or like explore other formats or something like that, when I stopped doing it, I thought I'd come back to it. And then when I found other passions, I still would time to time be like, what if I'm supposed to keep doing, what if I need to go keep doing Tasty Tuesday, even though I'm being led in this new direction. It was hard for me to focus entirely because in the back of my mind, I'm like, oh no, I'm letting go of something that was such a part of my life for so long. I had a really hard time with letting go of like high school for that reason too, where it was like, I'm just never going to see these people ever again. Mm. Like it's not that like I liked high school. Like I didn't really love, I didn't have a great experience, but I got used to it. It was home. Like, I didn't know what to do now that we're not going to this home.
Yeah.
That where we all, I know everybody, even if I don't like them, I know them, you know? And it felt like I know what I'm doing. And I think that's the scary part of transitions is like, even though you know you're probably going to a better place, something that you'll like and enjoy so much more, it's scary to leave that feeling of comfortability, of familiarity, of home in my opinion, like in my experience, like I'm just not as equipped to deal with those type of transitions. That's why I every place I've worked for a very long time at that place, you know, I had good tenure is what they say, what they would say when I would interview somewhere else, like, wow, you worked at this place for five, you worked at Chili's for 5 years.
That's funny.
Like, yeah, because it felt like home. Like I felt like I know what I'm doing here, and I like the people, or I like this about it.
Huh, that's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, when I moved to LA, I remember just thinking about what I wanted to do, but then I wasn't sure how I was going to get there. But I have the same attitude always of like, if you wake up every day and you know exactly what you want to do and what you want to be,
mm-hmm.
and you just remind yourself that every day.
Yeah.
Like you will, whatever it is in life that happens latently, you will say yes to more things that lead you to that place.
Totally.
That's just what I think, right?
Well, so, I mean, not to get woo woo on you.
Well, I'm the guy to do it too.
But like the whole law of attraction is kind of based on that. It's like seeing and visualizing yourself at the end and like feeling those feelings. And then you get like just random ideas will pop in that kind of lead you in that direction. And it's not like you are constantly thinking of the end while you're proceeding with your everyday life, but like each little thing is kind of a stepping stone helping you get there.
Every stepping stone too, I think I was just enthusiastic about, and whoever was engaged with me could tell that I was someone worth taking on the trip.
Yeah.
And like, you know what I mean? Like, so I think it was just about that too, that enthusiasm. And, you know, you guys know I'm a big football guy and stuff. And don't worry, I'm not going to get too in the weeds here. But I did find this analogy to be very interesting. There's something that happens during the draft process where teams are watching players. And, you know, it's on you. It's on your job. Your family has to move or whatever if you get fired from your scouting job. But your job is to watch these players and to tell the ownership, the GM, you got to tell them, hey, this is the guy. He's intense. He loves doing this shit. So guess what you're doing? You're watching these guys like a hawk, right? So you're watching them like after they're done with the drill. You're watching their body language. Like you're looking at every little thing that they're doing, looking for something. And there was a scout who I saw a video where the scout's like looking at a guy. He's like, his body language like after the play is like all wrong. Like you just don't know when someone's looking at you mm-hmm. for that moment, that spark of like, will this person take me to the next part of my journey?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think that in approaching all encounters with people with your best foot forward mm-hmm. is kind of what I was trying to talk about earlier, where don't lead with your weakest spot, lead with your proudest and strongest point. Mm-hmm. Like a fucking triangle, like the reason why the triangle is a strong shape to like charge into battle with is because it is leading with its strongest point. And I wish more people thought about things like that, because I really do think that has benefited me more than anything else in mm-hmm. life. I'm very enthusiastic about whatever I'm interested in. And I probably will be the most passionate person on your team if I'm involved with you. So So those two things, I think, put those together and like people just go, like, yeah, I could probably make money with Steve Green. I could probably like have fun with Steve Green, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Make people think about you in that way, right? Like whoever's listening to this, right? Like if.
Well, and I think people have a hard time with that. And that's kind of what, when I'm talking about all this, it's like, how do you get that type of passion? And I think, you know, what I said to you before when we were, again, in acting class, it's like people who are interested are interesting.
Yes.
So when you're very interested in something and you can't wait to learn about it, and it doesn't matter if it's going to benefit you monetarily or not, or if it's like a part of your 5-year plan, but you're fucking interested in it. Like you don't know why or how or what is making you interested in this, but you're fucking led to this. And maybe it's like, you know, putting together model airplanes. I don't know, but you're really interested in it. It's interesting to other people, and it's like a 100% magnet where other people that could help you turn this into something else, you're going to attract them. So I think that's kind of where these two thoughts merge, is like, you can say all you want, like that you're lead with your strong points and be passionate. But people, I think, have a hard time finding that passion. And I think it all starts with this, where you're trained that like once you do this level of education, you're an expert, and they don't encourage lifelong education. And I would like to strongly encourage lifelong education. And I hope that like the earlier you start, the better. But even if you're older, it's never too late to start having a lifelong education. And I think that getting passionate about learning is where your life is going to fucking expand and change in ways that you never thought possible.
I hear what you're saying, but as an expert on this topic, I disagree.
I see.
And I write you off.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that.
Yep.
And I bid you adieu, because I don't want you on my team anymore.
Good day.
It doesn't sound like you're a very
good
passionate member day of this team. I recruited you as part of my team, but doesn't sound like you're very passionate about this team.
I didn't show up.
I'm gonna go recruit someone else.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Thank you for the opportunity.
I'll let you know. I'll give you a call if things
go
a different
direction.
Are you gonna
give me a call?
Probably not.
Well, you're a bitch.
All right.
And that's how you.
And that's how you negotiate. And that's how it's done.
And that's how it's done. Because now she's thinking. Because this is the part of.
I'm like, wow, he negged me. He called me a bitch.
Negging culture.
Oh right.
This is part
of.
How
do I get him back?
Pickup and negging culture, where now.
Oh please! Oh please! Oh please! Oh please! Oh please! Oh please!
And now I've got her. And now I've got her.
Please come back on my team.
I'm thinking about it.
How do I make you like me?
Give me a raise.
How do I? Okay, I'll give you as much money as you want.
I had you pay for price. One of those people. So,
all right.
So now she's paying me. So you see how this works? Now she's paying me.
Also, because I'm a woman.
What about that?
Well, just be a man.
Well, you're paying me?
No, be a man.
Wait. I'll pay you. Fuck that. I'm not a bitch. Fuck
and
that.
That's how I'm you do it. And that's how you do it.
And that's how you be a man.
And that's how you do it. And now that everyone's thoroughly confused, I wish you your the very best in your lifelong education quest.
Education. Yes.
And you should always be asking questions. I did that on purpose.
I know.
Smooth.
I agree.
Create new language to convey my points even better than they were previously conveyed.
And her favorite language, her favorite word of this new language is sticky. Check us out, patreon.com/sticky.
S-T-I-K-K-I.
You can get the show a day earlier than you normally get it via our Patreon. Also, Nikki does free roll poker tournaments.
Many perks.
It's very fun. I do Crypto Corner every Tuesday.
We have the best goddamn Discord community you have ever seen in your life.
Shout out to them.
We love them.
Shout out to the members. Then shout out to the mods because they're janitors, but it's fine. All right. We'll see you guys next time.
We'll see you next week.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.